All right, let's begin to round up our series, The Season of Fruitfulness, and we'll start today by reading from the book of, just to save time, I'll just refer to Genesis chapter 26 that we have talked about before. Remember that Isaac wanted to move at the time, and then God said to him, don't move into the land that you want to go to, but stay in the land that I'm going to show you. And then he said, dwell in that land, and that same land Isaac sowed that same year and reaped 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the Bible says in verse 13 of Genesis 26, and the man became rich and continued. He didn't stop, but he continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Now, we want to continue today from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Last time we read chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8. It says, you shall therefore keep every commandment which I'm commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess it, so that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their descendants. Now, while I'm reading this, I want us to look at the description of that land. It said, a land flowing with milk and honey, for the land into which, that's verse 10 now, for the land into which you are entering to possess it, it's not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you sowed your seed and water, where you sow your seed and water it with your food like a vegetable garden. But the land into which you are about to cross to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. This land drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning even to the end of the year. He now said in verse 13, it shall come about if you listen obediently to every commandment which I'm commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He said, he will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Let's just finish reading that paragraph in my own Bible, New American Standard. That's the next two verses. Actually, where I want is really what I want to bring out has ended there. But let's just add the next two verses to it just to complete. He said, beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them, or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and it will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will quickly perish from the land, from the good land which the Lord is giving you. All right. Now, actually, I wanted to read this before. When I was reading Jeremiah chapter 8, the other time, was it 8 or 18? 8. This was what I wanted to read. But later when I got home, I said, no, that's not the portion I'm looking for. And I realized that this is what we are supposed to read. You'll see the reason in a moment. Now, let me connect with where we stopped, all right? Don't worry, I'll get into my message in a moment. See, there's just one more scripture I'll read, please, quickly. Let me just read this, and then I will stop reading. I'll start talking. Quickly, again, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Let's read that one quickly, and then I get into what I want to say for today, which, like I said, it's the beginning of the end of the series, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it said, verse 3, I'm going to verse 4, I just want to take a few steps backwards. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth, and whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Now, verse 4, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Now, let me just stop here. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Let me just tell you why I read this again, then I'll connect it with what we're reading from Jeremy chapter 11, and then we'll continue. Now, I want to emphasize something here again. In life, we know that there is seed time, and there is a season of harvest. And we're talking about the season of fruitfulness. What I want to emphasize is the fact that the Bible says it clearly here that there is always work to do in the season of harvest, as much as there is to do in the season of planting your seed. You see, because he said, he that watches the wind will not sow. What was he saying? In fact, if you have a New Living Translation or Good News Bible, one of them says, anyone waiting for conditions to be perfect will get nothing done. Very important. What he was trying to say there is that we have to get something done. We have to get up and go and do something. When you hear people speak a lot of times, they say that, why are you not doing your business? The conditions in Nigeria, they're not good. Power is not constant, like I say all the time. That's how some people are sitting down, focusing on what is not good, focusing on what is not constant, while others are sitting in the same place, moving up, doing things, and turning things around, creating power where there was no power. Are you getting my point? Remember the story, the one I like to tell all the time. When they asked the Voda and all these European telecom companies to come to Africa, then Obasanjo went there, told them, begged them to come to Nigeria and come and invest in telecoms. And they said they had a bad market, and then they did their feasibility studies, their consultants. Don't believe those people. Do you understand my point? Those consultants told them that Nigerians couldn't afford phones, and they refused. Power is not constant. Thank God for those who didn't believe them. They came from South Africa. They came from Zimbabwe. They came and they started. They invested money in the country. And in a short while, they sold so many lines, they couldn't keep up. One of my brothers, you know, he worked, one of my alumni brothers, my alumni fellowship that I talk about once in a while, then he was working as an engineer at MTN. He said then their job was to, you know, rapidly build base stations. And that one, he was in the Port Harcourt area, that normally that is, they had teams and they had competition in getting these base stations up. And the one thing used to happen, that as soon as they turn on a new station that they had built, it's instantly overloaded. They were shifting their best engineers over to Nigeria. Guys, work is going on. This was the same place where people said, all right, things could not be done. And that's why the Bible says, he that is waiting for conditions to be perfect, will get nothing done. The way they said in this, our English in the scriptures, is he that watches the winds will not sow. And now what I want to bring out, okay, that's not my emphasis. That's talking about sowing. It's important you sow your seed. My emphasis is the fact that he said, he that observes the clouds also will not reap. What was he saying? If you are waiting also for conditions to be perfect, you also will not get anything done so as to tap into the fruitfulness that God is bringing into your life. I said something on Tuesday. Let me say it again. Be careful what you consume. Remember it? Those of you around on Tuesday. What did I say? Be careful what you consume. Because what you consume affects how you see life. Remember when God came, this was what I explained. Let me just quickly say it again for those who were not around. God came into the garden. Now he said, don't eat. That was the commandment he gave to Adam, which Eve also heard from him. He said, I have given you everything in the garden, eat of it. But there's a particular tree that I don't want you to touch. The day you eat that one, you shall surely die. And then Satan came and tempted the woman. You know the story. And then she took the fruit of that tree and ate it and then gave to her husband with her. The Bible says. And then God, now listen to this. Nothing about them changed. That's what I want you to understand. Nothing about them changed. They were looking the way they were looking before. You hear what I said? They were looking exactly the way they were looking before. The clothes Adam didn't have then, he did not have it before that. Are you getting my point? It's not as if when he finished eating it, suddenly his clothing disappeared. All the Giorgio Armani's and the Calvin Klein's, you understand, and the Hugo Boss and the DKNY's on his body just melted away because he ate a fruit. No, that was not what happened. The land was still fruitful. Nothing went wrong. He was still in the same place where he was living. But then, when he ate that fruit, suddenly he realized there was no power supply. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Suddenly he realized that there was no security. He suddenly realized, you understand my point, that the value of the currency is depreciating. He suddenly realized that people are not very loyal when you make deals with them. You have to be careful. You cannot invest in this place. He suddenly realized all the problems. The Bible said he suddenly realized he was naked. And that began to affect his response to life. Normally, the Lord will have come and he will have discussed his problems with God. But he did not. When God began to come, he ran away. When the Lord showed up, he said, we went and hid. God said, this is normally where we meet. This is where we're supposed to discuss our strategies for the next phase of our business. And Adam was not there. Adam, where are you? He said, I'm hiding somewhere. Why are you hiding? I'm in the toilet. I closed the door. Why? Because I'm naked. Why? And God like, now listen to this. Everything you believe in life, always ask yourself, who told me? I don't know what I hear I'm saying. Yeah. Because what was the first question God asked him? Who told you you were naked? Your information must have come from somewhere. Huh? Who told you you were naked? You must know where the information you are working by, where it came from. You know, this afternoon I was writing something, this morning actually, in the house. I wanted to use marriage as an illustration for something. I said, you see, I've heard a lot of people talk on marriage relationships. How husband should do wife, how wife should do husband, how them, how women are, how men are. Men are from Mercury and women are from Pluto. You've heard things like that. As I was penning it, well, I was typing actually this morning, something struck me. I said, all these explanations, they're not even in the scriptures. They're not even there. That the Bible says clearly, men, whether you are from Jupiter or from Saturn, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I don't care whether you are from the moon. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. And let the woman see that she honors her husband, respects her husband, be submissive. I don't care whether you are from the moon surrounding Jupiter or you are among the rings around Saturn. It makes no difference. Obey these two. He said, upon these two hang all the laws and the prophets. You know why I went into that? You know, my wife knows a lot of those things I don't believe. There's one man I was watching, he was preaching on marriage. After a while, I said, this man is very interesting. He makes me laugh. I don't believe a word of what he said. I said, you don't believe it? Yes, he's not in the Bible. It's very nice to say, I'm bringing attention, because this is the point I'm trying to bring up, all right? That who told you you were naked? And I thought I was digressing. All the information, who told you? Men are like this, who told you? Are you getting my point? You know, I'm a woman, I'm like this, who told you? Your mother, she's not God. She does not know anything. Who told you you couldn't amount to anything? Who told you? Are you getting my point? Who told you that? That's why I'm happy with that story I told at the beginning. They told people in this country that if you invest in telecoms, it will not work. It worked. Let me say something to you again. Don't let the people lie to you and dislodge you from where you have made progress. There is no way in the world where success is guaranteed. You know, I keep on saying this thing. I've said it so much, I don't even like hearing myself say it. But something just keeps pushing me to say it. You sell your father's land to get a visa to go somewhere. Don't worry, poverty is waiting for you. You were not willing to sell that land to invest anywhere else. Are you getting my point? Poverty, no, just waiting. You know, like somebody said, there are things that don't require a visa. They pack, enter your bag. Listen to me. Let nobody deceive you. The chances of doing well in America is not at all better than doing well where you are. You know, some people, when you say this is there, okay, you don't. I know. One day, there was one doctor I used to work with me at UNTH. Where is he? He ran away and he went to America. 2 years later, his uncle came back to my office and said, good afternoon, sir. If he comes back, will you give him his job back? I don't know what I heard what I said. I'm sorry, I am not the big boss. I mean, look big to you, but I'm one of the small people here. If he wants his job back, you will climb that building, go to the top floor. That's where the CMD is. The chief medical director is there. Go and ask him. The same individual, like 4 or 5 years later, let's just say 3 years. Let's not appear as if we are deceiving ourselves. One of my friends in the U.S. called me and said, hey, Banky, remember this guy? I said, yes, I remember him now. He said, one day somebody called him and said, please, whether you can help one Nigerian doctor, that the guy is frustrated and confused. He's also a Nigerian doctor. He was doing okay. Whether he can help him to help give the guy guidance and direction. This is at least 7 years after. I don't think he has amounted to anything. You want to steal money, thinking that when you get to America, you will pay it back. You're a thief. There is a curse in the house of the thief. Hear this, I hear it clearly. There is nowhere on earth where there is the assurance of success. It's only if God blesses you. It's only if God blesses you. The same God is rich unto all that call. Oh, I listened to that message again recently. Bishop David posted the gospel of abundance. He said the same God in India is the same God here. And he quoted the Archbishop message that was that he would say a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. That is a matter of fact. That is a matter of fact too. That is a matter of fact. We must understand this thing. What's the point we are making? Let's get back to our message. What is the message? It is when people deceive you with words. I said, be careful what you consume. That is why they start telling you things that are not true. There is nothing. Now, what I want to say will sound funny, but I want to hear it. There is nothing IMF says that's true about your life, about Nigeria, about most African countries, about most developing countries. They don't know anything. World Bank is essentially a bundle of well-suited liars in a building somewhere in Europe and America. Once they wanted to show us, you know, this propaganda, of which CNN is one of them, is part of them. When they want to demonize the ruler, they know how to do it. There was a day I heard that somebody, this really happened. A journalist came to, I think it was Uganda, one of these countries, and wanted to do a document, got a local to take him or, whether it was a her, I don't know, around. So that fellow said, let me take you to the nice areas. They said, no, this is not the kind of thing she wants to film. They want to film where children are running around naked, you know what I'm saying? You see four children living, putting hands into one bowl. If you check, those bowls are always dented and cracked. Just watch it. It's deliberate. There are rich people in those places, they will never film them. Then you turn around, go to New York, there are slums that people also live like there, but they won't film that one for you. So they show you all those kind of things. So when they were watching TV like that, and they were trying to show how Robert Mugabe had destroyed Zimbabwe. Let me tell you, I don't know Robert Mugabe. He's not my personal friend. You understand my point? I don't know him. But I told my wife simply, they are lying against the man. This is part of their calculated effort to ruin his government. All the problems in Zimbabwe are tied to the sanctions they placed on him, not his decisions. I hope you are getting my point. The problems arose from the fact that they said we will punish this man. So anyway, what I'm telling the story is that, so one day, he was now going around, went to a big supermarket, showing that there's no bread on the shelves, there's no corned beef on the shelf, you know what I'm saying? no tin tomatoes, nothing. Showing you how, that day I was grieved. So my wife was feeling bad. How come? What is going on? I said, baby, relax. You are an African. Our food is in the market. I told my wife, I said, relax. This one they are showing you is the mall, is the supermarket. Have they showed you their own equivalent of Ogbete? She said, no. Have you seen their village market? No. Go there. You will see ugu, you will see yam. You will see locally grown tomato. You will see the things the guys are working. Don't let IMF lie to you. You watch TV too much. You are asking for confession for your soul. That's what I'm trying to explain. That my wife was feeling bad. How come people? I said, relax, baby, relax. Have you noticed that this shop has glass sliding door to enter? These are the people that depend on imports. The ones, the cassava, the garri they made themselves, go to their own local market. If it's plenty. But the cameras will go. Anyway, I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on your life. When they feed you all those things, suddenly you wake up in the morning and say, nothing can work. I come once again to ask you today, who told you nothing can work? Are you getting my point? Who told you? Who told you? Who told you? They tell you that all the dollars Nigeria make is a lie. Most of ever since Sanusi decided that no importation of dollars, guys, okay, no wahala. Y'all begin shook their dollar for pocket. Shook on here. Each man traveling has $9,999. You can't tell him he didn't declare it. Declaration is $10,000. Most of the dollars are working here, working in pocket. Did you hear what I said? Inside pocket. They don't declare it to anybody. Nobody can arrest you. You walk in anywhere with your dollars in your pocket. IMF will never find out. Will not come and be using their own statistics to lie to you that you have a problem. Listen, you don't have a problem. Are you getting my point? You have a better advantage than an average American. That's not supposed to be a lie. That's not supposed to be a lie. I mean it literally the way I said it. You sit down around doing nothing, believing that I've seen a man, this one, I've seen them plenty. That time I was in Lagos. A man to get up and walk, he won't do anything. He's hanging around the embassy waiting for a visa. While the period he's there waiting, his mates are, you know what they call breakthrough? Severely breaking through. Oh God, I'm in a gisting mood. Oh God, those days, oh Father God. You know Lagos, I love Lagos for one thing. The prosperity is everywhere. But there's one thing I like about Lagos. If you take your broom in the morning, so I'm going to be sweeping for a fee. Do you hear what I said? The day I respected Lagosians that time, oh God, I love Africans. God, just bless us, eh? We are good people. Once, I was supposed to be the driver to take the household to the market, my cousin's house, where I was staying in Lagos then. They used to go, you know, go down to, is it mile 12 or mile 2? Which one is at the end of K2? Mile 12. So I parked. So I won small hatchback roller, we took the market. So the women went to the market. When they now arrived later, you know, I saw some ladies, you know, small young girls. You know their job? Waiting for you to come out of the muddy market. They are there sitting down with sponge and soap and towel and slippers. As soon as you come back from it, you know the market is muddy, dirty floor, your feet will be dirty. As soon as you come out like this, auntie, you hang them your right foot. Come on. They have water waiting. Don't put soap. Finish. Rub cream for your leg for you. Sharp, sharp. Change the other leg. Wash soap and water. Rub cream for the thing. Clean your shoe. Somebody don't shine your shoe back for you. Step out of their slippers into your shoe. Your husband won't believe you went to market. And these people were there making money. Once I saw a friend of mine was staying somewhere, so I went to see him in the evening. We're not strolling in the evening. He said, let's get something to eat. To my surprise. In the afternoon, now bus stop, people they walk out, sidewalk. Film for night, which one be sidewalk? Now restaurant. Guys don't bring out table. See, this man's specialty now yam and eggs. He has boiled the yam from his house. He has crates of egg there. How many eggs? Two. How many slices of yam? He just opens the cooler. Pium. You see him? Egg a la carte. African omelette, you know? Don't chop it. Now listen, people were doing these things and sending children to all kinds of schools. And some people were there queuing at the embassy believing that if you don't give me a visa, my life, you understand, has come to an end. And listen, all over the place, one day one of a preacher friend, he was telling me that one of his friends in Onitsha, all he does is you know, preparatory classes for WASC, you know, stuff like that. And that really, that guy was turning over about ₦1 million a month in turnover, preparing young people to go and take WAEC, you know, NECO, JAMB. I like, are you serious? Yes. He gave me a rough calculation that this guy turns over about ₦1 million a month. Why some were saying, Nepa is not working. They're angry. One young man was there, turning over ₦1 million a month, turnover. And his profit on it, if it is bad, 30%. If it's bad, I don't want to overestimate. Preparing people for WAEC, for their, what they call, NECO, you know, WASC, JAMB. Who told you you were naked? When you feed yourself with a lot of nonsense, things will not be different in your life, but you will see them differently. Adam had not changed one bit. He suddenly decided he was naked. He was unprotected. He had no investor. Nobody's giving him money. His business won't do well. Why? Because he ate the fruit he wasn't supposed to eat. What you feed yourself with is what determines how you see yourself. And when you see yourself wrongly, saying you are naked when you are not naked, you end up outside the garden. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. What happened to Adam? They kicked him out of the garden. And if you see the way the Lord painted that picture, it was to let us know the way these spiritual operations work. He came as if he did not know. Because he went to the same place where he expected to meet this man and his wife. It was when he didn't find them there, he said, "Where are you?" It was a question. He was behaving as if, listen, let's assume I'm not aware of what is going on. But let me show you the way life works, so that even if I'm not aware of what's going on, you will put yourself in the trouble. I am naked. God said, "Who told you you're naked?" What God was saying is that what this man is interpreting as nakedness right now was there before. It was not nakedness. When did he all of a sudden suddenly change his perspective? He must have consumed something differently. He must have been eating something. Listen, you have a friend, suddenly the coming out of the fellow's mouth changes. Just check, where has this girl been? Where has this guy been? The person must have gone somewhere. Are you getting my point? Somebody must be feeding this fellow something. You see a man who used to be bold, ready to take charge of anything in life. Suddenly say, "Hey, please, we have to be careful. Oh. We have to be careful." Ah, like, what's happening? Go and check. He has gone to one church where they told him that the earth is placenta. That's what I told you on Tuesday. Anywhere you enter, you're not a sinner. You know, if you're a sinner, it's good for you to enter a church and feel oppressed. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when you're not a sinner, you just go in the morning, you are joyful. This is the day that the Lord has made. You know, he went to church. By the time they finish, you will die and go to hell. Just stop going there. You know, I have told you. Because one day you actually die, even if you don't go to hell. You will just die a hellish die. You were happy when you woke up in the morning, rejoicing in the Lord. You entered church, then by the time you came out, you were depressed. Gloom, doom, everything is looking bad. Somebody said, "Hello," you jump. Like my wife greeted somebody once. "Ah, no, she was praying somebody that greeted somebody else. Say, "Ah, where have you been? Where are you now?" Say, "No, you can't know where I am. You can't know where I am. I don't look like, what happened? I'm greeting you." You know, you should not see your friend a long time or a relative. He said, "Ah, where are you now? That is, are you still in Enugu? Or you are now in Abakaliki? Or I heard you went to Melbourne? Or is it Sydney? You know, that kind of, you went to Sochi." Yeah. That was all. Say, "No, you can't know where I am. You can't know where I am." Why? Somebody has been feeding. Oh, God. Be careful what you eat. Oh. You're feeding the young woman with arrant nonsense. Listen to me. I'll give it to you direct like I gave it on Tuesday. I don't care whether they call it church or not. You were sleeping nicely in your house before. There was no problem. Then now, when you want to sleep, you bind your perimeter from witches. You bind them from spirit husband, spirit boyfriend. Once you start that, you don't miss road. Wait till I talk. You don't miss road with that. God sent me today to let you know that you are on the wrong path. Change direction. If you go to church, it should build confidence in you. You hear what I said? Yes. I remember those days. Ha! Well, after my youth service, when I got to Lagos, I laid hold on some dangerous materials. You know what I call dangerous? Dangerous. Two people especially. Miles Morrow and David Oyedepo. Two of them. I still remember once we went for a wedding on Nature then. One of our sisters, I saw her there. So I was just talking with her, talking. I told her that I will send you some materials. Supernatural Living Series, 8 messages by Bishop David Oyedepo. I said, when you finish listening to them, I said, and I wasn't joking, I said, when you finish listening to them, when you come out of your room, the color of the atmosphere will have changed. Because that was how it was for me. Then when I finished listening to those messages, I've given the testimony before. I was ill for a while. One day I woke up in the morning. I just did my hand on my face like this. And it felt bumpy all over. Ah! I picked the mirror. Oh, God. What was it? Chicken pox. Broke out all over me. Oh! I said, Father in heaven. I went through my tapes, brought out tape number 2 of Supernatural Living series. I put it inside. I lay down there. The thing finished playing. I put my hand on my face. I said to the face, in the name of Jesus, I curse you. I woke up next morning the same way. I woke up, I just like, you know, the smoothness made me rush for the mirror again. Every single bump had vanished. Because I listened to one tape. I told you, when you go to church and you come and say, I'm going to die, who created this country itself? I don't know why we are together. Walk around and go and kill somebody. And it's a church you went to, change church. It's an instruction, though. You are playing with poverty if you don't believe me. He said, ah, Pastor Mark, I can't change. Okay, at least take sabbatical. 1 year. I'm telling you, go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. The word of God is supposed to build confidence into you. Like when you see life, when life do like this, you say, waiting happen. When life one shoulder, you give on your shoulder, ah, there's just a plane. Hey, better turn. It's even a joke, turn on to fight. Move, fight, complete. Let's know what's going on. It's true. No, listen, listen. The word of God, that's what it's supposed to do. Build confidence in you, not bring fear into you. I remember those days when I finished all those material I was telling you about. You know, my reaction to everything. My reaction to everything. In fact, people used to wonder, what was up? I remember one lady. We're doing ARLD elections. For those of we're at the association in the hospital. We're doing elections. So I was talking to somebody. I wanted to say hello. So, you know, I just turned like, who is that? She said, oh, sorry, did I scare you? I said, remember the lady. He just said, hey, did I scare you? I said, scare me? Nothing is big enough to scare me. You know, she was just, you know, out of just being polite. She came to my table where I was sitting. I was talking to somebody. So I turned to like, who is that? He said, oh, sorry, did I scare you? I said, remember very well. I said, scare me? That was the way I answered. I didn't, you know, there's this nice way of saying, oh, no, 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 don't worry about it. No. It's all right. No. Tell me, it's all right. Oh, nonsense is that. What's all right? I said, scare me? Nothing is big enough to scare me. That's how I answered her. Ah, she said, oh, she instantly connected what I was saying. He said, yes. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I said, amen. I don't care who you are, I vote for you. I told her straight. I said, for that, you have my vote. She was campaigning, I think, for vice president. I didn't care. No matter what you said after, I'm voting for Linda. I don't care. I didn't care again. It was that same thing I told you. I took a stick. I was just playing in the house like this, you know. Just put a stick down. Somebody said, hey, Ducky has 60. Me at 60. I just took the stick like this. Straightened it towards the person who spoke. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle. I will never bend. That's how I answered it. Don't joke nonsense joke near me. No, you can't joke that kind of nonsense joke. And I will be playing with him. One day also I was in the office. We're just joking because we're all training pathologists. I said something. So we're just talking about children. I said, one day I'm going to have children like this. One guy now jokingly said, you never heard of infertility. I said, children are the heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Yes, I wasn't married. You don't play nonsense play. One day lady, my friend from school, one day we saw after a while, we're just gisting, we're just, you know, just catching up on Jesus. How far? I wasn't married at that time, of course. And I said, all this running up and down. Husband come off a house morning till night. Wife come. You know, we're just talking about such things. I said, to me, I said, no, my wife's not going to work. I said, your children will go to public schools. Because my wife is not working, my children will. I wasn't married, though. She was not married, though. You see how people will be prophesying evil. God help us. People do those things when they eat nonsense. It's what they eat. This was a single lady talking to a single man. And we're just talking about life generally.
And he's telling me that except my wife works, that we will be so poor, we won't be able to go do anything we like. I said to her, number one, what is wrong with public schools? I remember when my children started going to school. We had a discussion with it. I told my wife, listen, let this boy go to where he will learn to speak Igbo and learn to fight. Yes, you know. And then after that, I said, don't worry. I will hire a teacher to come to the house. This school, to me, is a social gathering. Now my wife was saying, lie, she don't go. That's okay, I give up. But beyond that, I said, you see, it is to you according to your faith. It's to you according to your faith. Listen, let me explain something to you about faith again. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let me quickly correct this because there are so many. In fact, I know maybe only one other preacher that says what I'm about to say. I've said, if you listen to my messages on faith, I've explained again and again. People say hope is uncertain. No. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is the wrong way we interpret it. It's very common in teaching on faith everywhere. They say when you have a hope, you will now go and look for faith to make your hope certain. That was not what Paul said. That was not what the Bible said. Hope in the Bible is not a wish. Hope in common day English is a wish. Am I going to see you this evening? I hope so. Which means if my car starts, I go home. Are you getting my point? I'm not sure. He said, Alpha, do you think there will be sun tomorrow? You know that our program is tomorrow. We don't want it to rain. We say, we hope so. That is, we desire so. We pray so. You know, we wish so. It will be pleasing to us if it is so. But that was not what the Bible said about hope. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped, past tense for. That is, if you find a man that has an expectation, it is because he has faith. The word in the scriptures, hope, is firm expectation. It's not a wish. So when they say faith is the substance of things hoped for, he's not saying when you wish for something, go and look for faith to shock him so you don't go fall, you know, to balance him. That was not what he said. He said faith produces for you what? Hope. If you have faith, you have an expectation. And the fact about faith is that everybody has faith in something. It is a place where you place your faith that determines the kind of expectation you have. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? But one of the things I wanted to teach today, I hope we still get there. Yesterday, we were having a discussion with one man. We're just joking. One of my colleagues, we're having a very good laugh, him, my wife, and I. And we're talking about how people, you know, how they scheme in life to succeed. How they scheme. And you know that there's a man he knew that this guy, he spent 7 years flying first class. And if it's local flight, business class. If you have to stay in a hotel, top-level hotels, you know, go to Abuja, Hilton, you know, not Hilton, one small room down there, you know, Hilton, top floor, you know, that kind of thing. That this guy kept on doing that. Why? Because he wanted to meet the people that mattered. He said it took him 7 years, and it finally worked for him. So we laughed about it. As I was driving back home, I told my wife, any Christian does that, God is waiting for you in front. God will destroy and frustrate everything you try to do. Why? My glory I will share with no one else. You know, that man, I told the story, the issue is that he had faith in connections. Are you getting my point? So you see how he built his life. He cost him money. And of course, let me not even go there because I'll get back to, I'll try and get there in my message, all right? Okay, that's what I want to talk about today. Let me just pause that. I'll get back to that gist. But why I went into it prematurely is that everybody has faith in something. And when I say faith in something now, I don't mean faith in America. No, that's not what I mean.
faith as an example in media, public opinion. They are the ones that now create that, okay, if you go to Australia, you will do it. If you go to North Africa, you know, or you go to Middle East, you will do it. They are the ones that create it. You watch so much CNN, they give you words, it gives you an expectation. Except that your expectation is only as sure as the veracity of the evidence it is based upon. So this is how it works. When I take the word of God, you understand? And it forms. Now, people think that faith, that a hope is like, I want something. Hope is not, I want something. I need to clarify that. Hope is not, I want something. Let me say it again. Hope is not what I want. Hope is what I expect because I have a reason to expect it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Hope is that which I expect because I have a reason to expect it. It has nothing to do with what I want. If I don't like the hope, then I have to go and look for something to use to change it. That's just the way it is. In fact, one of the things, when we get into that series, it is finished, I will explain some things. A Christian's life is that God has prepared everything. And one of the things you do in giving your life to Christ is that you are changing your own mindset and you are just accepting everything that God says He prepared for you. That's all. That's all. That is, assuming you were amongst those who were brought up to believe that, what is a man doing with plenty? Once you have enough money to eat, you should just be happy and relaxed like that. And listen, it's godly mindset. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. Then one day you are reading the scriptures. And it says you have been blessed to be a blessing. Listen, whether you like it or not, instantly you must change your mind to realize that this is my life. I cannot just have enough. I must go beyond enough. Because if I don't go beyond enough, how will I superabound to every good work? Look, do you understand my point? Let me give another example, just to use my life as an example. I like quietness. You may not believe me for the amount of talking I do. What I mean is this. I get irritable if I get into a house, maybe, and there's too many people all over the place. I'm one of those people that, if people say that they grew up in a room that had 8 children and 2 parents, and I'm worried for you. Not because, I'm not thinking of poverty, I'm thinking of, how did you people manage? Because if it's me, I will run. Not because I would rather stay on a tree. That's just the way I have always been. When we were young that time, we had this family friend. Well-to-do guy, you understand? But this man, we noticed that in his family, you understand, in his house, you get there today, there's always one cousin, one brother. You know the way Africans are. This man was taking care of everybody. So one day my mother was just, in the house we were talking about, my mother just admired it. Oh, beautiful thing and all of that. I told my mother, square, like me, I can't do that too. I'm sure she felt like, oh, this is my son, he's such a wicked soul. You know that kind of thing. Now, I'm going somewhere. My reason was just, not because I was wicked to anybody, it's just that I want to come home, no noise, I just go in somewhere gently, and I settle down. I don't want disturbance around my soul. As I began to grow, I began to study the word of God. I realized that my natural mindset is not good. That is, it wasn't about desire. I just realized it was not good. So I told myself nicely, don't make the mistake of marrying a girl that thinks like you. But I married a woman who's, like my friend would say, Mama Adubo. You know what they call Mama Adubo? Mama of neighborhood. You know, I told the Lord straight. My wife had better be neighborhood mama. Because me, otherwise, two of us are going to have a bad name. Don't mind those people. You know that kind of thing. By the time I married my wife, I knew the Lord answered my prayer. My wife is not only that. If you one day we almost quarreled because somebody wanted to park into the next house. My wife to go and knock. Hey, hello, who are you people? I said, Mama, come back here. Come back here first. Where did you go? One day she turned it to prayer point that she has to have friends in the neighborhood. Now they look like what is wrong with this quietness that God has blessed you with? Now, why did I bring up that gist? Okay. How did I change? That's what I'm talking about. The difference between expectation and desire. It was simply that I read the scriptures. And for that reason, listen, I have never stayed in a small house. You know, the way God does things, I had nothing to do, you know, since I married. I came to Enugu. The first flat we stayed in, man, his and his wife alone. That's a single man and single wife. I was about to say single man and single wife. I mean, me and my wife, no children, no friend, no family, nobody, just two of us. God arranged it. I wanted just a flat. I got one that had 5 rooms. And I rented it. I liked it. That is the smallest house I have lived in till today. Why? Because my mentality is that I like quietness. So I said, if I have a guest, they have to have a place to stay. So every house, he must have space for my guests. And I said simply, I need to be able to dispatch my children to all of you downstairs so that there will be peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding around me. And you know the funny thing? That desire has always created things around me. I hope you're getting my point. Now, the point I'm making is that how did that desire come about? It was not my natural desire. It was because as I was growing and realizing what life was about, I knew what my life would be. I'm explaining the difference between expectation now and desire. So this new expectation I had, I suddenly realized that things have to be different. So even when I was willing to settle for a small house, God said, it won't work. Oh boy, you know it will not work. I've seen people that have houses bigger than mine. You can't find space to put your head to sleep overnight. Why? Like I told my wife, when you don't make space in your heart, you will never find space around you. Are you getting my point? So because I'm bringing an issue that it wasn't just what I desired naturally, but just observing, I said, oh boy, this life has a particular order that created an expectation. Expectation is not based on desires. It's based on evidence. Many people desire good things, but they expect bad things. And it is the expectation of the righteous that is fulfilled, not his desires. There's a world of difference between your expectation and your desires. It's your expectation that God fulfills. That's what the Bible calls hope. You know, this gospel that when you have a desire, when you have a hope, you look for faith to make it solid. It's not the scriptures. It makes life hard. People walk from the other way around. They first desire something. They now try to look for how they can convince themselves and God that they should have it. It's not supposed to be like that. The way it's supposed to be is that you're living a good, righteous, godly life. We'll begin that meme in about 2 weeks' time, talking about it is finished. Then you pick the scriptures, and it says simply to you, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It's not about desire. You've just discovered how your life is going to be. You've just discovered how your life is going to be. Abraham was walking around jejeli. I want you to understand something. By the time Abraham said to God, what do you give me, seeing that I go childless? You know what that means? I have accepted the fact that I will go childless. In place of having a child, what will you give me? You are getting my point? Now, this is how it is. God now said to him, who said you are childless? Your wife will indeed bear you a child. Are you getting what I'm saying? He personally, it was at that point, it wasn't about desire, it was expectation. What do you give me, seeing that I go what? Childless. And God said, no, you will not go childless. Your wife will indeed bear you a son. And the Bible says, Abraham now believed God. And it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. He never went to God to say, God, please give me children. It was God that said, come, I will give you children. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It was God's idea. And when he accepted it, the Bible says, wow. God said, this man is a righteous man. That is, he now had a new expectation. And that's why when you read the book of Romans chapter 4, he said, in hope, against hope, he believed. That is, initially he had an expectation. And then when he met God said, no, you are getting it wrong. This is what I am going to do in your life. Abraham said, in that case, do it. Let it be unto me, using the words of Mary, according to your word. And he said, good. This man believed us. He's a righteous man. What am I saying? A Christian's hope is based upon not desire, but discovery. What they discover that God has said about them. But that day my wife was telling me that, please, we'll pray for somebody about something. I said, I'm sorry, they are Christians. I said, I will not pray. Why? She said, what did they explain to me? I said, why I disagree with them is that the pressure you tell me that they are under is formed by societal norms, not by the scriptures. I said, I cannot muster any faith in my heart to pray for them. I said, if he has given me a scripture, all right, that this is what the Bible says, their life is not going that way, then I turn it to a matter of prayer. I don't know whether you're getting honestly. Society forms, expectations for people. They're now under pressure because of societal expectation. Let me give an example, all right? Just to give an example. There are many examples, all right? Maybe society says that, by the age of 40, you should have built your household. You are now under pressure. You now come to me that I should pray for you. And I say, what should I pray for? You say, in our village, if by 40 you have not built, you are seen as cursed. So, the way I will look at you, you will know you came to the wrong pastor. You come to me, say, pray. I say, what? I have three children. They are all girls. The next one, I want it to be a boy. So that I should pray. Me. I, Banky, open my mouth and pray for you. Are you an unbeliever? If you say yes, okay, fine. We will pray. But if you're a Christian, when I'm through with you, you won't listen to me again. Or you will repent. It's one of the two. Yes. There are things I won't join you about. Listen. I tell people that, listen, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to teach the world how to behave. Don't put me under, they cannot put me under their own pressure. I refuse. The only thing that's allowed to pressure me is the word of God. I get my point? I come under, in quotes now, pressure to conform my life with what God has said, not with what society says. Say, in our village, if you don't have a big car, they will not respect you. That's your village problem. You know that. It's not God's problem. It's not my problem. I pray it will not be your problem. In fact, if you have a big car, please, next Christmas, go with the keke napep. Go and hire a keke napep. Stand by. Throughout that period, carry you from here to the village. So I say, where your motor? Say, and there. Where the motor? That one now. That yellow thing, yes. That's a keke, yes, it's mine. And let the buffoon there that doesn't realize that the size of his car does not give him wisdom. Let him know that that's what you think. We sometimes bend down for the world's ideas. And now start sowing. That's a lot of this nonsense seed we sow. That's the problem. You've been sowing seed to match up with your cousin. As if you and him are running the same race. That is what the problem is. And that's why some of our faiths don't work. They don't work. They can't work. The faith cannot work. How can it work? You are asking God to come down to your stupid level. It will not work. When you come to God like that, say, God, say Christmas, they come. This last Christmas, I escaped. I told them we're doing something in my office. I couldn't go. But Lord, I'm going to give you 9 months advance notice. So you can prepare something for me before the next Christmas. So God is looking. There are prayers you pray that will prolong your poverty by one extra year. Did you hear what I said? Be careful. Bible says, guard your steps. Watch your mouth when you come near the temple of God. Draw near with a closed mouth. Draw near to do what? To listen. Because some people will pray prayers. God just said,
Gabriel. Ginger Gabriel will come. Yes, sir. Where's the car? The one that we're about to send to him. He's about to reach Enugu. Stop him for nightmare. Freeze the tire there one whole year. Yes, my Lord. And he goes away. Then one angel will now come and say, Lord, we know you are always wise, but we just want to know the wisdom in that. He said, look at this foolish boy. He wants to turn this blessing into an idol. He wants to turn this blessing into a form of competition when he goes home in Christmas. Listen, until he realizes, in fact, until he goes home with a keke and a pep, won't buy him a car. That is with joy, come when everybody has arrived. Come late, you know, come late. When you know, is it youth, when the youth age group, when the age group have gathered, he say, ah, where's Chukwudi? That's him coming. Then you arrive, you, vroom, 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 you know, what is that? He says, Chukwudi. And he comes and says, hey, guys, how now? Who get this Lamborghini that you laugh there, feel happy? And talk to them without any inferiority complex. God said, until you get to that level, I'm going to leave you here. You better go. You see, that's some prayer points. Some prayer points are a problem. Any day you pray them, God says, one more year. Some of it, I tell you the truth. I will not tell you lies. Some of the prayer points we pray is the reason why we can't move from where we are. Because God said, this boy hasn't gotten the point. This girl is very stupid. She doesn't understand what I'm talking about. You go and pray, say, God, you know Amaka has married. You know Angela has married. You know, you account as you finish counting all of them. Anytime they'll be looking at me like this, they'll be looking at me. Lord, that's why I have come with this seed. Since you are so, you can't see they've all married. Your eyes can't see that I'm the only one remaining. I have come with this seed to open your eyes. Since God, you know they see. You understand my point? Since your eye is too dull to be able to appreciate all my maids I have married, here is the seed for the cleansing of your eyes. God just said, Gabriel will show up. Where is that brother that was heading her house? Confuse him. Want to head in that direction. Confuse him. That's it, though. The guy is in confusion. Why? Because you prayed him. If you had just closed your mouth, you know, just zift, don't see anything, he will have arrived sooner. Because the scripture makes it clear. You have not because you ask not. When you do ask, you ask amiss. How? Because you want to spend on your lust. And you see it, you are competing with one another. You say, how come there is envy and jealousy amongst you? Because you desire what somebody else is having. So God says, oh, why? Sow this seed. But pian can like this, I am giving you. Why? You have not done what is right with your heart. One of the things I learned is that God's is not every prayer point, that is not the answer now. The prayer itself, did they provoke God or devoke him? That English, I invented it, you know. There is provoke. What is the opposite of provoke? So I didn't know what to use, so I invented that devoke. You understand my point? Someone said, now you use something to provoke God. When Solomon came to God and prayed, what was his prayer? God said, ask for anything. He said, I won't ask you for things like, because listen, oh, let me drop this one. Then I hope you are blessed today. Yes. All right, let me just, so, because I'm not going to do my message. We'll read it next time and finish it. All right? The Lord is good. Do you know that Christians are very funny? Christians are very funny. God will say, I don't like you doing this thing. I don't want to ask for this thing. This is a man who didn't ask for it. I blessed the man. We'll read the story or refuse to read the story, then show up before God and prayer point. Lord, those things you said we shouldn't be asking for, we want to start asking you for it right now. You said, Don't worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and where you shall be clothed. Lord, we are not going to worry about it. What we're just going to do, we are going to declare warfare on it. But for the next 12 weeks, we will not eat until you do it. But we are not going to worry. So every day, you know what I'm saying? Because God said to Solomon, you know why I'm going to bless you? You did not ask for the lives of your enemies. Then we will go to church. Oh, my enemies! Holy Ghost! Someone said, scatter! Die! The very thing that God said, Solomon did not ask for, and is the reason he blessed him. Then we will start a whole church. Let me ask you a simple question. How do you think God is thinking about your prayer point? I walked up to Solomon. I said, what do you want me to do for you? Solomon said, just make sure, Lord, that I have the most important resource to fulfill the assignment you have given me in this life. And I said, what about the life of your enemies? Wealth, riches, honor, long life? You didn't ask for that? Or is that right? Good. Because you did not ask for it, I will now give you everything. Then we turn around and say, you know what? Lord, we know anything we ask you can do. So all we want this week is the life of our enemies. Every enemy that says we will not progress, die. If God was pleased with Solomon, what scripture do you need for me to prove to you he is displeased with you? And I don't want to hear any nonsense testimonial. Yes, so one brother prayer, the man next door died. So the man is now your enemy. Everybody that dies this week is your enemy. People don't go die again unless you pray, Abby. And peradventure, you are the one that killed him. Hey, I don't have time to go into it. But you'll have realized that, assuming now you came to work, and one man said, I'm your enemy. You will not make progress. And you went back home and you started binding and dying him. You know what I'm saying? You kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Ekpa. Ekpa. After killing the man, one thing you will miss. Listen to this. So this is how God responds. One thing you will miss is the enemy that did not look you in the face and declare that he's your enemy. The next person you will take as a friend will be an enemy, but because you did not suspect him, you will never pray against him. Because God said, okay, you want to be picking your prayer points by yourself. In Solomon's case, he didn't ask for the life of his enemies, but go and check what happened to his enemies. They were so subtle, in which they will say, good morning. And the Holy Spirit will say, see that good morning is the cue that he's supposed to use to ignite this, and this against you. Fire him. Solomon just say, come, you. Why did you tell me good morning? The man will be surprised that Solomon had read all his intentions. You see, what are you talking about? Go and listen to what he did to Adonijah. Is there Adonijah? Yes. Adonijah just came up to Bathsheba. Asked my brother to give me this particular girl. Honest, so honest that Solomon's mother did not notice. But the Holy Spirit just opened his eyes. He just saw the plot. That it was a serious coup they were planning. The main guys were in it. How do we initiate it? Just go take that girl. Once you do, then you will declare that actually the reason why you have married this girl is because it is truly you that David gave the kingdom over to. Nobody knew that. But God gave him that wisdom so that the enemies that were hidden, he got them. You know why I'm laughing at Christians? The very things that God said don't make prayer points. It is the very things we have made prayer points. Let me say this to you, so that those who listen to me, listen to the word of God I preach, you'll stop it. Don't ever sow a nonsense seed towards a car, a house, any material things you claim to desire. Don't give towards it. Listen to this. Let all your prayer points about them be dismissive. Now, this is what I mean by dismissive prayer points. It's coming to your mind.
You understand? I mean, you're getting married now. You need a car to move around with your wife. And say, look, listen, nobody who says it's not good. It's good. We say it's good. It's good. It has nothing to do with the size that Emeka bought or Chukchuku the bought. I'm not competing with anybody. My life just has to move on with my life. Are you getting my point? It's just my own thing. So the thing comes to my mind. Dismiss it with prayer. And that was what Paul was preaching in Philippians chapter 4. He said, be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. That is like, it's a dismissive way of praying. Lord, this thing is coming, please. This is what I like. I hand it over to you so that it doesn't disturb my soul. Hand it over to me the time I will need it. Thank you in Jesus' name. It comes back every time you thank God. No good thing will you withhold from me because I'm your child. You love me. Jesus has paid. Did you get my point? Let me say to you, this painted on the wall, point to it, so towards the anointed with oil, is the reason why the thing will be delayed longer than you thought it would come. Why? Because by doing it, you are breaking the law of God. He said, take no thought. He said, these are the things that the Gentiles pray about. Most of our prayer points, he said, are Gentilic prayers. Another invented word. But you understand? You get what I'm saying? They are Gentile prayers. Such things must never take sleep from you. Take fast, that is, take water and food from you for 1 second. If it's while you are eating, you think about it, give them that dismissive prayer. Not as if it doesn't matter prayer. What I mean is that God, you will take care of it. Bible says, Jesus said it clearly. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He said, for that reason, don't pray like the Gentiles. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every other thing will be added unto you. Let me tell you how your life will be. I have to stop now because of time. The message I want to preach today, I will preach it next time. Okay? As you can see, I didn't go into it at all. I was just about to make a point when my mouth just went in this direction. This is how your life will be. One day, Bishop David Oyedepo said, he and Archbishop, they stayed in the same hotel for a program. Archbishop Benson Dawson. And one day, Archbishop said he should kneel down and started to pray for him. That from now on, you have the gift of on time. Now, is that gift of on time? I want to tell you how your life will be if you follow the word of God. Whether anybody lays hands on you or not, this is how your life will be. Say, what is on time? It is simple. Actually, it's in the scriptures. That before you have a need, the supply will be waiting. Did you hear what I said? You see, this is how the Christian's life is. When you start working with God, start studying the word of God, you will have a need in front. Supply will come after. I don't know how long after. It can be a day after. It can be a week after. Sometimes a year after. I don't know how long after. But the time will come. As you continue working with God, the pace of release will be getting shorter and shorter. You get my point? That it will happen. That one day you just wake up in the morning. You look at your bank balance. And you turn and say, Lord, what is this for? I don't know whether I get the point. To now become a prayer point. Like, what is this for? Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. What is this for? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. And then your friend will now call you. And say, oh boy, I've been trying to reach you. There's a business we have to do. This is how it is. There are going to be 3 of us. Each person has to drop 6.5 million. Then you look, that account balance was exactly 7.1. I don't know whether you get the point. And you tell him, no problem. And he said, let me explain now. He didn't know that there's a reason why you are saying no problem. He said, the way it's going to be, said, don't worry. I'm busy now. I'm driving. Call me back later. But put me down for one of the units. It's all right. Then later on, when everything works out, the guy said, you were not even. That's what you're listening to. You don't understand. God let me know ahead. This was coming. He said, how did he speak to you? He put the money there. Now, to all this one, that God's word whispered to me, and my spirit began to speak. Listen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. You understand my point? But what I disagree with Christians about is to tell me that is the main way by which God does it. That one I disagree. I don't have time to go into it. God speaks to people different ways. That is my own emphasis. Does he speak with your spirit? Yes. In the same manner, he speaks with dropping money in your account before the business opens.
That's what I'm trying to, I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to explain here. There are different ways. What is most important is that you commit your ways onto his hands all the time and walk with a pure heart towards him and towards people. God will lead you different ways. I went off time, you know, off tangent a bit, just trying to explain a point. That the way your life will be, a deal is going to come, it will need 6.5 million naira. God will give you 7 million. That you just find 7 million waiting. Waiting. You'll still be wondering, what is this about? Then one day you say, well, maybe I'm still thinking that, well, maybe it's time for me to go and buy that kind of car that I like. So tomorrow, I'll call the dealers. That evening, your friend will call you. And the moment he calls, and you finish discussing the business, and you realize that, say, how much will it cost? And he says to you, it's going to cost 6.5. Instantly, you know that it's not the time for the car yet. That's what it means when the blessing will run after you and then do what? Overtake you. That is, we get there before you do get there. The money was waiting before. Look, this one of, I pray for money before it comes so I can do that business, expand my business, do what I'm supposed to do. It's a phase in life. What did I call it? It's a phase in life. And you will soon get out of that phase. It will come to pass that things will be waiting for you before you realize you needed them. You're not planning to park out of where you are right now. But somebody will come one day, let me show you another house. He said, but I like where I am. Just come, let me show you. I'm not saying you take it, just look at it. When you walk in, your spirit will just blend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? You walk in like this. Say, oh, this is a kind of space exactly that I want. And that's it. You were not planning to move. That's how God leads you. There are different ways. There are different ways. There are people that are married. They were not, that this is not like, I'm praying. In fact, my wife did not even, she felt I just came to spoil show. When I said, okay, half an hour. I said, me with the look first. I said, all right, let's go home. Married this year. Waiting. Half an hour. So, and now I went and requested one of my friends, a lady. I said, look at this young woman. I said that, what was that I told her that time that you were saying? Yeah? Free, you know. My wife was a final yesterday when we met. We married during her youth service here. So she had planned that, I will be a free person for a while. You know, that kind of, I go to work, come back, lock my door. You know, that kind of thing. You know. And God says it's not good for you. God says it's not good for you. It's not good. So one day, when she was doing that kind of thing, now I go tell my friend, though. I said, hey, Donna, see what this young woman is saying. He said, freedom. Freedom. These young girls, let me tell her about freedom. Let her come and see me. Let me tell her about freedom. I said, they want to see you. They want to tell you about freedom. I didn't do that either. You know, the other part of it. But the point is this. It was like, Pastor Bill, if I wait small, why should I wait small? If the Lord is good, we have to receive the goodness. And also, let me just add this one and I close. Some of you, you know, I hope nobody here criticizes private jets again. Anybody does? Nobody. All those who are going to prosper in life, they don't do such nonsense. All those who have private jets are going to private places. Is that not so? No, there's a reason why I'm telling you that. In your own life, the day you finally buy a private jet, you know, you feel, some people, conscience, no go let them talk for 1 month. They'll be repenting and say, Lord, everybody I criticize in my life, in Jesus' name, I repent. Because now, need, they have it. Money, they have it. Ability to buy it, they have it. Then after a while, people will now say, look, this year, you know, of course, when British Airways will have delayed you, Eric will have frustrated you, when one day your company will almost lose a huge business because of you missed a flight, you know, that kind of thing. That's why people will now talk to you, say, okay, the way you are going about it is not good. We have called them Learjet. They've told us how the kind of deal they can give us. All we need to do, sir, now, is drop this amount of money. They will bring it in by next week. We are tired. And you start feeling bad. Souls are perishing. I'm flying private jets. Is it because private jet is a luxury. It's not luxury. It's luxury for poor people who are not going to private places and who don't have private money. I don't know whether I get my point. Like I always say, life is everything we have in life are tools. What did I call them? They are tools. They are tools. My car is a tool. My house is a tool. Are you getting my point? They are tools. We use them for a purpose. My computer is a tool. I will never hang a computer up and be admiring it. This computer is nice. I have a friend once, he bought the latest Vostro that time, and he'll keep it at home. So I said, what is he doing for you at home? And one day I go to his house, he'll bring it out and show me. Oh, foolish Galatian. I used to yap him now. I said, where's the cock? He said, which cock? I said, cock. Which cock now? I said, the cock you want to sacrifice to this idol that you kept in there. I said, Banky, get away. I said, it's an idol. Maybe I should bring a fowl for you. Cut the head. Bring computer me will use. He says, the latest boss true. It's the latest. God knows me. In fact, Israel also knows me apart from God. Many people know me. My wife knows me. As the computer is coming out from the park, he took away the first to establish the second. If we did not need it, why did we buy it? I used to buy belt. Those as a young man, inside market, I removed the old one. Wear the new one. It looks good. That's the end. The old one, old things have what? Passed away. What is all of this thing holding on to? What I'm going to say is that that's how we see life. Let me say to you, that is how you also see a private jet. They will never put your own in the papers because you are not, are you two-faced? You look like the bunch. I know your name starts with P. There's no square in front of your own. Are you getting my point? You are just you. You are going where you are going. You are not competing with anybody. That's how it is. That's how it is. Now, why did I go into that? Just to add down for your life before I go. The day you will buy your own too, it's not competition with anybody. It's because you are providing jobs, all right, for tens of thousands. Every time you waste, people are losing jobs and losing productivity. So you say, no, it's time to stop wasting God's resources. We have to be a good manager. To be a good manager, they say, bring us a layer. Say, a whole layer. They say, okay, don't worry. The company can afford it. You know, but then you won't feel bad at that time because I have warned you ahead of time. Did you hear what I said? That will be your portion.
Amen.
It's called on time. What did I call it?
On time.
What did I call it?
On time.
That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please, my message for today, I will preach it next time. For those of you who made me go like this, God will bless you. Because I don't know why I preach like this. I came with a different message. I'll preach it next time. But I hope you are blessed today.
Yes.
Let's bow down heads and quickly let's thank the Lord. Thanks, Father. We thank you.